Leading Ideas Talks podcast is brought to you by the Lewis Center for Church Leadership of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. Subscribe free to our weekly e-newsletter, Leading Ideas, at churchleadership.com/leadingideas. Leading Ideas Talks is also brought to you by the new Welcome Video Toolkit. Learn strategies to welcome and respond to your first time and repeat church visitors, reach younger generations, expand your church's entry points, and get new people involved. Learn more and watch introductory videos at churchleadership.com/shop. And remember, to stay up to date with the latest church leadership strategies and information, please like and subscribe to this channel and click the bell icon to get updates for new videos. When do things go back to normal? How do we get people back to church? And how do we do more with less? In this episode, Rebecca Simon-Peter calls us to the next normal as she explores what it means to invite people to church as spiritual community and to do more with less.
Welcome to Leading Ideas Talks, a podcast featuring thought leaders and innovative practitioners. I am Jessica Anschutz, one of the editors of the Leading Ideas e-newsletter, and I am your host for this Leading Ideas Talk. Joining me is Rebecca Simon-Peter, the chief visionary of the group coaching program, Creating a Culture of Renewal, and author of Forging a New Path, Moving the Church Forward in a Post-Pandemic World. Welcome, Rebecca. I enjoyed reading your latest book, and I look forward to our conversation today.
Thank you, Jessica. Pleasure to be here.
In Forging a New Path, you raise three persistent questions asked by people in the church in recent years. And I can tell you that these are the questions that I was hearing as a parish. When do things go back to normal? How do we get back to church? And how do we do more with less? Starting us off this morning, I want to invite you to reflect on, rather than going back to normal, how can church leaders embrace what you call the next normal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, such a good question. I think the first thing to remember, Jessica, is normal wasn't so great. I mean, 2019, we were already worried about stuff. We were worried about, you know, how churches were going to make it and the finances and where were the young people. So all that stuff. So I get the wanting to go back to normal. You know, who doesn't want to shake hands and, you know, sort of forget that the pandemic happened, because it's extremely disruptive and still is. But yeah, I do think we need to embrace the next normal, because when we look at the history of the church, there's always the next normal. Look at the history of the world. We never go back. There's always the next normal. And so I think orienting ourselves towards the future instead of some glorified past is really the way for us to go. And what I see is that, look, if people have already been telling us that church wasn't working for them. They're already telling us that. And I think one of the things that really hurt during the pandemic was when churches were deemed non-essential. Shutting the doors of the church was really, really hard. And I get that not everybody did, and I get why the decisions were made, but I think it was really hard in great measure because people had already been telling us in the church, you're already non-essential. They told us that in 2019. They told us that in 2009. They told us that in 1999 and 1980. They're already telling us you're non-essential. So embracing the next normal, and this ties in with kind of the second question, I think it's really about paying attention to what folks have been telling us. If we're spiritual but not religious, the church is only offering religion, how can the church do spirituality? Hint, it's not that hard. We have so many resources. It's our foundation. And so embracing the next normal, I think, is really about looking towards what does the future hold for us? How do we put into place positives, and you know, how do we put into place the things people have already been telling us they want, instead of trying to scramble back to something we knew wasn't working then?
I think you rightly emphasize our need to embrace spirituality and to feed those people who are hungry and longing for greater connection. How can church leaders infuse ministry with spiritual formation?
I think really looking at the Bible instead of a manual of right living and do's and don'ts, casting a different filter, you know, using a different filter and seeing it as, wow, look at all the ways God interacts with humanity. That's our first resource. And so when we reframe what the Bible has to share with us and what it has to teach us, every single experience in the life of the church can take on spiritual formation when we use the Bible in a new way. So that's the first thing I would say is understand the Bible as a record of spiritual experiences. And in that sense, it's not a closed canon. Because I think about how I came to Jesus. I was in the Orthodox Jewish community. Jesus came to me in a vision. And it wasn't anything I could look, you know, chapter 7, verse 12. It wasn't in there. It was something right. completely different. And, you know, it was, I love you and I understand you and I accept you, you know, and me in my particular context. So in that way, the Bible is not a closed canon. It's a hint of things to come. So at every moment that we meet, we could tune into the spiritual experiences that are there in the Bible as a jumping off place, not as prescriptive instances of the only way God could speak to you or talk to you, or the only way you could respond to God, but as descriptive, as a like idea generator, like, I wonder how God's going to speak to you today. Our church council meetings, our board meetings, all of that could take on brand new vitality. So I do think introducing the Bible as a record of spiritual experiences into the different ways that we meet and we gather is one way that spiritual formation can be brought into the life of the church. Another way that spiritual formation can infuse the life of the church is by taking the kinds of studies that we have, let's say small group studies, and bringing a new quality to them. We don't necessarily need to just start from scratch and wipe everything out that we're doing, but this idea of infusing spirituality. So the four questions that go with the covenant group model, how is it with your soul? Where have the challenges been? Where have the joys been? What would you like to be held accountable for? Could you imagine starting like church council meetings with that? I mean, wouldn't that be different? Or Bible studies with that? That would be absolutely amazing to have those kinds of questions frame our time together, because it gets us right into our lives and where is God present in our lives.
And I imagine the revival that could come out of that work. What steps would you encourage folks to take so that it can be our future?
In the program that I lead, Creating a Culture of Renewal, we always say that renewal begins within. You really can't lead people farther than you're willing to go. So I would say by necessity and by definition, church leaders would begin to work on their own spiritual connection and look at being with Jesus rather than doing for Jesus. So that's the first thing, is what are the leaders doing? Can they engage in those accountability groups and have accountability partners and talk about how it is with their soul? And then the next step that I would take is to begin to introduce it in worship. And one of the simplest ways to do it in worship is to understand that, or to set the expectation out loud for people every week. God will be speaking to you today. Listen for how Jesus is prompting you. Pay attention to what the Spirit might be saying to you. Like, set the expectation, because teachers know people rise to the expectations you have for them, right? So set the expectation and expect God to be delighted. Oh, good. Finally, they're talking about me. Or not just talking about, but creating this space for. The second thing I would do after setting that expectation intentionally, joyfully, and regularly is to create quiet spaces in worship. A lot of times during quiet prayer, you get approximately 4.5 seconds and then the words start again, or the music is there and it's not really quiet. So I would also lengthen the time of quiet in worship and let people know we're going to have quiet. It's going to be 3 minutes. It's going to feel like 10, but it's only going to be three. Like, just help people get ready for that. And then, at the end of worship, You know, ask people, how did God speak to you? So don't just start off that way, but have a bookend. How did God speak to you? And give people a way to respond to that. Maybe it's, maybe, you